Hello, 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 my podcast family. This is Erica Janelle, and this is Relationship Talks with Erica Janelle. And of course, I love featuring one of my favorite people on the planet, my sister. We are so super close, and we are going to talk about a really exciting, very controversial topic today. And it's really talking about whether or not traditional marriages and relationships are something that we should pursue. If marriage is the issue, what is the issue? What is it? What's changing in society and how they view relationships is such an important and controversial topic. And I couldn't think of anyone better to share this topic with. We have very strong opinions and sometimes opposing opinions about this. So this is going to be really interesting. And I'm super excited to share it with you guys. So without further ado, here is Marina Calandriva. You know, I love her. I love you very much. You are my sister. And by the way, guys, I am joining you live in St. Petersburg because tomorrow starts my tour for the Relationship Talks EP. So I couldn't leave my podcast family out without doing a podcast before I get into my music stuff. So Marina, let's talk about it, as my tagline says.
I love you, girl. Thank you so much. Like we're always, like I said, like no matter what, we're always like talking on the phone and discussing different topics, you know, trying to make one change at a time. And I love it. I wouldn't want to do it with anybody else.
I love you.
Yeah, no, I feel really, really grateful. Thank you, honey. Okay, so, well, you kind of mentioned that, you know, relationships and marriage, you know, marriage is not easy at all. So where do we begin?
I think. Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So for me, and I know that we both have been married before, and our views on marriage are the same for the most part, but I honestly come from a standpoint of marriage is not the problem. I feel like the problem and the issue is two major things. The first being who you're married to. Well, let me say three major things. Who you choose to marry, your reasoning behind why you get married, and then how you structure your marriage. Is it based on what society says? Or is it based on what works for you guys? So I feel like people blame marriage as the problem. It's not the marriage. The union, the institution of marriage is not the problem. And this is my opinion, and it's a very strong one. I'm very firm in it. Because having been married to the wrong people twice, having not been whole as an individual twice, and having learned a lot of different things about myself after being divorced and after going through therapy and after going through my own personal healing and growth, I realized that it wasn't marriage that was the issue. It was one, who I was married to, why I chose to marry those people. And then three, what was the vision for my marriage? Was my marriage based on what the church said my marriage is supposed to be? Mm-hmm. Was my marriage based on what other people in the community said my marriage was supposed to be? Or was it based on my personal beliefs, him and I sitting together and saying, this is how I want our marriage to work. And now that I'm older and I'm wiser and I've been down that road, 17 years of marriage between the two, I feel like I am highly qualified, and now I know exactly what not to do and what questions and things to ask now to make sure that when I get married again, because it's no mystery that I do want to get married again. I don't believe in, we're just in a relationship for 25 years and we live together and we have kids together, but we don't have that commitment to each other. Right. And I say that very firmly, and I'm not going to dominate the whole conversation. Firmly, because I remember a family member of mine was very, very ill and in the hospital, and they were never married to the person that they were with. And as a result, that person couldn't make any decisions as to their health. They didn't have the right. They weren't a next of kin. And there's a lot of things that come with you know, having that foundation of marriage and having that person there. If something happens to me and I'm in the hospital, I want my spouse, who's the closest person to me, to be able to make those final decisions, because he would know more than anybody what my wishes were. Despite what I have in my will or anything like that, he would know, because we would be the closest people to one another. And he would know what it is that would be the best thing for my plan of care. It's those little things, and things like, you know, financially and things like that, that to me, I feel like we as a society have gotten out of. We blame marriage as the problem. And it's not marriage, in my opinion, that's the problem. It's the people involved. It's why you decided to get married. And then it's, what is the plan of action for your marriage? Nobody should be in a box. My Yes. marriage should be different from your marriage. Your marriage should be different from somebody else's marriage. It's when you two come together and decide what your marriage looks like. What is it that makes you two happy? And that's my view on that. So you share.
Okay, well, no, listen, I agree with every single thing that you said. So, like, remember this earlier, we spoke about it, and I told you, what is the main problem that people have when they get married? Besides that, I guess, let me just start by saying that getting married is, like me as a Jewish woman, I was already married, I have two children, and I'm happily divorced. Do I want to get married again? I do not. To me, I feel very restrained. I feel very, like, I feel like I'm in the box. I feel like I'm in jail. Yeah. Even though it's one, sure. Yeah, exactly. I feel, of course, it's one situation that happened to me. I shouldn't just make every other person suffer by now. Cause I have guys that are like, I would love to marry you. I'm like, I don't want to, because I genuinely have anxiety. So I was just thinking to myself, and I said to myself, you know what, realistically speaking, let's just say it for what it's worth, right? From the very young age, especially in the Jewish culture, and I know you can relate, you may not be Jewish or, you know.
But a Christian.
Christian. It's the same. Right. It's the same concept. A girl, as soon as we're born, everybody's dreaming about that white, beautiful dress and a beautiful marriage and a beautiful husband. Nobody is really working on themselves, because all we're doing is trying to perfect that one day.
Itch. Yeah, the image.
The image.
And you're being groomed for that.
Right.
I wasn't ever the girl that dreamed of the white dress and the picket fence. And I actually never thought about it. It wasn't even a thing. But mm-hmm. I'm a little bit different. Mm-hmm. it wasn't a thing. I just happened to get married. And I got married very young at 18, you know, yeah. The first time. So I definitely understand that. But please continue.
Right. So, okay. So the first thing is, it's very important for everybody, but of course it's not our fault. It's the culture, it's the generation, it's the concept that was implanted in our brain. You have to. So while I was, you know, still single, when I was always like scared, can I date this person? Oh no, he's not Jewish. What will my community say? You know, because if I'm dating somebody, I'm gonna have a reputation, because everybody's gonna start thinking, oh, you lost your virginity because you were dating. You know, so then you start, I guess, suppressing yourself, suppressing who you are, because now you're worried, what will others say? You're not allowed to date. You're not allowed to find yourself. And to me, I was even scared to go hang out with my guy cousin growing up, because I was afraid people would give me a reputation. So with that close-minded, primitive mentality, I grew up, and then I just got married because I felt like I had to. So right. When I got married, I genuinely didn't want to. I felt like, when I spoke to my husband at the time, we both were just sitting in the car and we said, listen, our parents are going to invest into our wedding, because, you know, cultural weddings is a lot of money. It's everybody's going to pay attention to the dress of the bride, to the flowers in the restaurant, and to the music. Mm-hmm. Everything else really doesn't matter. And that's a lot of money. So we just said to ourselves, we're not going to get a divorce, because it's important, because we have to respect our parents. It was never the conversation about, what will you do in the situation where I'm going to need you? What will you do in the situation where you're going to need me, right? Or how is it going to work that when we have children and I will not be able to provide, what will you do? Or how are we going to survive? And the other aspect of life that I didn't know is, I wasn't close to God on that level that I am now, mm-hmm. where I appreciate God for all the little things. Like, I was never the type to say, I'm so mad, why is it happening to me? But I was the type to be like, well, what are we going to do in the situation, right? Do we call our parents for help? So going back to the concept of marriage, it's like the society's norm for perfection. You know, everybody has to be a size zero. Everybody has to be blonde with blue eyes. And, you know, once you get married, right away people say, well, when are you going to get a house? How many kids are you going to have? There is no emotions.
This is the stages. Get married, have babies, you know, buy your home.
Get a house.
Like, that's the rigid system that's been
set. What kind of car do you drive? And this is the problem with everything I think everybody's questioning right now. Marriage is good, like you said. The problem is not with marriage. The problem is with the concept behind it. Can you handle the hardships in marriage? Because when you're together, it's supposed to be the two of you.
Absolutely.
And when you're going through struggles, how do you deal with it? And is it okay to go outside and ask for a third party's help for solution when you're struggling? Or are you going to be afraid? Because I was always judged, oh, Marina, you always talk about dirty laundry. I'm like, no, I do not. I need help. So to me, marriage was like very traumatic. Because I felt like I was just thrown into it. And then I'm happy because my eyes were opening up. Then I was like, oh my God, this is bullshit. Excuse my language.
It's okay. We can say bullshit.
Right?
It's
right. Thank you. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. I'm like, so, okay, I got married. Okay. I have two kids. And what? What are we giving to our children?
What else?
Communication. Right. Communication is not there. Respect is not there because he's not happy. I'm not happy. We keep sacrificing everything. We keep acting like we could do this. And then when you go into like another event, everybody's like, don't talk, don't say anything. Everything has to be picture perfect. And a lot of people, a lot of women in our community are actually settling down because they're always thinking about, you know, oh, my biological clock is ticking. I have to get married. And eventually, the worst thing that happens is that you have children and then you get a divorce. And then something that you and I have experienced, well, okay, let's go through a divorce. And then there's absolutely no respect. Like, you also don't want to be in it, but we're the ones who are punished. Where's the support for the children? Do we have any contract to help the women? What is out there to support that whole concept? If I'm now a single mother and I'm left with children, what's going on? So what is marriage?
Right. Right. And it's so systemic, or it's literally a hierarchy that is set in like the Stone Age mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And so my whole purpose in this relationship talks is to bring us back together to a place of, we get to the core of why we want to be with this person. Yes. Why we want in our life with this person and how that looks for us. Because I don't care, and don't get me wrong, I know that you come from Jewish culture, you know, I'm come from a Christian background, and so we were raised, you know, you don't have sex before marriage, you wait till you get married and then you have sex with your husband and all of those things. But you don't even take the time to work on the things that you want to do or you want to become as an individual. And that's the problem. So I feel like when people get married, they feel trapped because they're starting to determine who they are.
Yes, yes, and absolutely.
And as they start to figure themselves out, then now you're a wife and now you're a mother. So you no longer can focus on you as an individual. Yes. Your focus is now shifted toward children. Your focus is shifted toward your husband. Your focus is shifted toward maintaining your household. The problem is, and I say this and I stand firm in it, some of my friends agree with me, some of my friends do not. I don't think anybody should ever get married until they're at least 30 years of age and they have done things that they wanted to do for themselves. I feel like you don't even know yourself until you're at least 30. And some people, it takes longer. I feel like you don't even know the direction you want to go in fully. Until you reach the place where you know where you want to go, what it is that you want out of life, whether that's to travel the world, whether that's to, I don't know, start an acting career, whether it's to own your own businesses, get your finances at a certain place. Do you want to own your own home before you get married? Do you want to do? You, I feel like you should live every freaking dream you want to live as an individual first, because it's all about being whole as an individual and that person coming with you and they're whole as an individual. And then when two whole people come together,
yes,
and you actually come together and you talk about what does marriage look like for you and me? I don't give a damn what society says. What do you want? Is it because there are people that have open marriages that works for them? That is not going to work for me. I know me.
Right.
A little too territorial.
Not for me either.
It would not work. And I don't want to share my spouse. I want to be able to give my spouse all of me. But at the end of the day, some people are okay with an open marriage, but that's their dynamic. And if that's what you two agree upon, and that's something that you guys decide that's what's going to work for you to be able to maintain your relationship with one another, then go for it. I know of couples that have open relationships or have had open relationships and at some point in their marriage. And then afterwards, they were like, you know what? I'm done with this. I don't want to share you with anybody else. And then they change the dynamic. It's all about you communicating what it is that you envision for your relationship, not letting society tell you what you're supposed to do and what you're supposed to have. And if you want to have kids, there are plenty of married people that don't have any kids and they are living their best lives. They're traveling the world. They're doing the things they want to do. They don't have anybody holding them back, or they don't have to worry about finding a babysitter. They can go and just live their best lives. I mean, I look forward to that day. I love my kids, but hilarious. I've been raising kids since I was a kid. So I'm done with raising kids. Like, I'm ready to be able to live. I want to be what I envision for my spouse. And when I get married, I want to be able to, me and my husband, be able, our kids are grown. They're doing their thing. We're able to go and travel the world if we want to travel the world. We're able to go on dates every time we want to. We're able to just live our lives and do whatever we want to do without the restrictions of having to be responsible for somebody else. That's my desire. But I feel like at the end of the day, it boils down to you actually having the real candid conversations. Like, I remember, you know, my love and I, we talked about how often, if we were living together, how often you would want to, how often would you expect to have sex? Mm-hmm. And we both were like, every day, mm-hmm. like maybe two or three times a day. Yeah. But that's because we both are highly sexual. So I'm fine with that. And even if it's not the physical act of penetration, even if it's just oral sex, if that's what we want to do to make sure our partner, when my husband or my man leaves out, I want to make sure he is good.
Right. Absolutely.
He is
relaxed.
He is able to be his best self. He can go in that boardroom and kill it because I took care of him and he took care of me. I can go in the boardroom, run all four of my businesses and kill it because I'm satisfied, I'm relaxed, I'm at peace. Mm-hmm. I know when I come home, we're good. You know, the household, we're on the same page as to how we're going to manage our finances, how we're going to, you know, deal with the kids, how we're going to raise the kids. We're on the same page. That's what a marriage is supposed to be like. It's your individual personal relationship with your partner. It's not what everybody says you're supposed to have. It's not what everybody says you're supposed to do. How much the church says you're supposed to do this. They're not the ones that have to be in that marriage every day. Mm-hmm. You got to find what works for you. And that's why I always say it's not marriage that's the problem. It's two people that have not communicated effectively what it is that they want, what their expectations are. If say, for instance, you're a person that you're highly sexual, but your spouse is not, mm-hmm. then you're not on the same page. You're not equally yoked, to use biblical terms.
But sometimes you don't even know that. Because,
but that's why you need to have conversations. You should be talking about everything. There is no topic off limits. I want to know how you like it. Do you like it? How you want it? Not just how often you want sex. What kind of sex do you like? Do you like anal sex? Is that
what an if the person is a virgin?
If the person's a virgin, then they don't know any better. But that's why the institution of marriage, I think, was intended for virgins to get together, because you don't have anything to compare it to. But let's be honest, most of us are not virgins. Most of us have been there, done that multiple times. And we have decided and figured out what it is that we desire and what it is that we like. So say, for instance, one partner is experienced and the other partner is a virgin. Okay, they still need to have the conversations. What are you open to? What are you comfortable with sexually? Are you comfortable with anal sex? Are you comfortable with oral sex? Are you comfortable with bringing somebody else into the bedroom? Are you comfortable with using toys? Are you comfortable with, I don't know, whatever it is that you want to do? Those are the conversations where people are afraid to have those open dialogues with one another. And that's the problem. If this is a person supposed to be the person you're supposed to spend the rest of your life with, you should be able to talk to them about anything. I want my husband to be the person I talk to before I talk to anybody other than Jesus.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely.
I want him to be my absolute confidant, my best friend, my person that I give, you know, I tell my deepest, darkest secrets to, the person that I can share my vulnerability with. You know, I did a video on vulnerability. That's a missing key. And you can't be vulnerable with somebody that you don't communicate effectively with.
Exactly.
If you're afraid to have those conversations, then you're not marrying the right person. And let's call a spade, you're marrying somebody that you're not on the same page with.
Yes.
And it's so important to be on the same page, but go ahead.
So I'm going to piggyback off what you were just saying, which is very important. Communication is important before marriage, because I tell you, there was a time, remember I told you I was going on blind dates when I was still very young, because culturally back then I was like maybe 19, 20 years old, and I was forced to go on a blind date. And one of the guys that I went on a date with was a religious guy. And I have nothing against my people, but he was so religious that he was asking me questions on something sexual, like how do you put on a condom? I think that was the only thing that he asked me. And I believe he was maybe like in his early 20s, I don't remember. And when he asked me, and I was like, wait, what did you just ask me? He goes, well, first of all, he parked his car, he went to the grocery store, he came out and he was like, okay, can you show me how to put on a condom? I'm like, what makes you think I know how to put on a condom? And also, what makes you think I want to put on?
Why am I supposed to show you how to put on a condom?
I was like, that's disrespectful. First of all, in a Jewish community, you shouldn't be asking a woman to do this, because that's a reputation. Right. Second of all, that's disrespectful. I'm like, why don't you go ask your friends? No, I'm very shy. I'm like, why don't you go ask a rabbi? No, I'm very embarrassed. I don't know who to ask you to. And I wasn't judgmental to him, but I literally said to him, I said, listen, I personally, at that time, I didn't know what else is out there. Like, you know, who to go to, like, what should I connect it to my guy friends? That, because I wasn't sleeping around. So I felt disrespected, but I started giving him a lecture. Like, first of all, that's wrong, because he was like, well, my mama said, you know, Jewish people have
to talk to your father.
I know.
Who does not have penis? Again, where's your father?
In situations, you'd be surprised. I apologize if my people end up listening to this conversation, but culturally, in our religion, a man also is supposed to be a virgin and a woman. They're supposed to get married. Right, right. Were they supposed to get married and, you know, just give themselves to each other? That's it. But if you don't know anything, even like go read a book, go get a book, you know, educate yourself on something. It's not about just because I'm Jewish, I have to help you. It's about that basic knowledge. So I think because of that sexual tension is the reason why a lot of marriages are breaking apart, because you are so sexually, and you know, I'm not going to get into my culture. It's just like, you know, I'm sorry. No, I'll say it. When a woman has her period and she's religious, they're not supposed to have sexual intercourse for 2 weeks.
Right.
After that, because she's considered dirty, which I think is very disrespectful, don't have sex with her, but still, you know, they're not supposed to touch each other, they're not supposed to do anything. And then it's just, so imagine you never had sex in your life and then you go into this relationship to, all of a sudden, not even relationship, you go into marriage right away because you're super religious, and then you can only have sex twice a month. You know, those 2 weeks out of month. And that's if she's fully clean, and then you could have it, which is horrible. So
I hate religion.
I hate religion. You don't understand.
I have a relationship with God, but I hate religion. I hate all ideologies that people put in place. And you are causing people to be sexually frustrated, to only have sex twice a month. And you're laying next to the person that you're physically attracted to every night. That sounds like torture.
No, it is torture. And then you know what? To me, at some point, when you don't have that, I don't know, like I love with my ears, like they always say women love with their ears. Like if I don't hear you talk to me, talk dirty to me, love me, hey, beauty. You know, remember you told me this morning how you're the guy that you're with, right? The love of your life, which I have so much respect for him. He just sent you a simple text message saying, hey, baby, are you ready? Did you pack already? That made me happy. And I never even met the guy. But that text message is something that I love hearing from the person that I'm with. It's a simple, hey, baby, I never had that in my marriage. Not one time my husband sent me, hey, baby, how are you? On a text message. How was your day? We were not together. He didn't know how to communicate. And I was just drained because the way he grew up and the way I grew up, I'm very talkative and he's not. I'm very extroverted. He's introverted. We didn't know this about ourselves because again, culturally, it's very hard to allow yourself to experiment something or to experience something. And I'm not even saying necessarily go and have sex, but at least with us, I don't know why. It's like, I just had to close my mouth, shut my eyes and just go get married. But
that's why it leaves such a bad taste in your mouth. And that's why you're so terrified of it. It's not marriage that's the problem. It's the religion that's been put in place to tell you this is how you do it. And this is the only way.
And don't get me wrong,
that is not to disrespect anybody's religion. I am a very spiritual, I call myself a spiritual person.
Yes.
My relationship with God is a relationship. It is not based on rigid ideals and ideologies. It's based on my relationship. And at the end of the day, yes, as a Christian woman, should I be having sex outside of marriage? Absolutely not. Will I tell you that I'm going to definitely have sex before I marry somebody? Absolutely. I am not purchasing a car without test driving it first. Exactly. I know that's not the Christian thing to say. Say whatever you want, but I was in a very bad sexual marriage and I will never go through that again. Absolutely not. I definitely need to know if we have that chemistry, if we have that connection, if we're on the same page. We need to have the conversations. We need to talk about sex. We need to talk about everything. I want to talk about money. I want to talk about sex. I want to talk about how we want to raise our kids, what kind of schools we want to have them in, what kind of environment we want to live in, how often we want to have sex, how often we want to do. Are you freaky? Because I'm going to need you to be freaky because I could be a little freaky. So am I too freaky for you? If I'm too freaky for you, I know you're not the man for me.
Are you jealous in public? You see,
are you jealous? Do you like it?
Because
the men that I've dated, I can't think of anyone, maybe my ex-husband, didn't like for me to dress sexy when we were out. When we were out, they liked when I would dress sexy and they would get attention. I did date one guy that had some issues with it. He'd be like, you gonna get me in a fight. I'm like, why would you be getting in a fight? I'm the one going home with you. Let him talk.
Right.
Your woman looks good. You should be saying, I did a good job. Patting yourself on the back.
Absolutely. But
because I'm a confident person. So when I walk in a room, I'm not walking in a room looking like, oh my God, oh, she's thinner than me. Oh, she looks better than me. Oh, her hair is better than mine. Oh, her dress is better than mine. When I walk in the room, I'm the shit.
Yep.
Okay. I don't even see anybody else. I'm thinking about is how much effort I put into my outfit and what I'm wearing and how I'm, did my hair and my makeup. I know when I step outside of this house, I'm going to look my best.
Yep.
So I don't care about other women. There are plenty of beautiful women. There are plenty of women that are more beautiful than me. I don't give a damn.
No competition. Absolutely.
I am my own competition.
Yep.
I'm in competition to be a better version of myself today than I was yesterday.
Yes,
in competition to be a better mate to my partner today than I was yesterday. Communicate better today than I did yesterday. I am my own competition. I'm trying to be at a better place financially than I was yesterday. Those are my things. And I feel like if you're dating somebody and you're still dealing with insecurities and all of that crap, you're not whole. Remember the first thing I said was you need to be whole as an individual.
You need to be happy with who you are.
Take the time. Don't rush to get married. Take the time to do the things you want to do. Okay, say for instance, you're a guy or you're a girl and you want to explore all different kinds of people and have sex with different kinds of people before you decide to get married. Fucking do the shit. That way, when you get married, you're ready to settle down. If it's what you want to do, if it's something you really want to do, and that's truly who you are, be who you are. Stop trying to pretend to be something because you're worried about what everybody's going to say about you or how they're going to judge you or how they're going to look at you. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, when you decide to say I do to your spouse, it's between you, that person, and God. And that goes for same-sex marriages. That goes for male-female marriages. I don't care. At the end of the day, nobody outside should be able to determine what your marriage dynamic looks like between you, other than you two and God. But if you are not whole as an individual, you're bringing a bunch of baggage and bullcrap to a relationship and into another person's life that is not necessary. You know, you haven't taken time to heal. So if you know you're an insecure, jealous person, you need to deal with that. Whether it be to go through therapy, whether it be to, you know, start trying to find ways to help build your confidence, whatever that is. But don't make your spouse pay for something that you are not mature enough to recognize or even admit is an issue that you have. It's not your spouse's responsibility to take the brunt of your insecurity.
And that's culture. In our culture, it's always the woman's fault. My in-laws used to tell me all the time, not only they used to say, well, my wife was this and my wife put up with this and blah, blah, blah. And then if I don't want to be married to my husband, everybody would be like, why you don't want to get married to him? There's so many married couples that are worse than you. You know, they always compare you to somebody else that's worse versus what are you looking
at? As if that's the standard that you want to go to.
Right, exactly. You're comparing me to the worst person. And even if I wasn't logically able to explain or express how I was feeling, I was just so sick and tired of hearing it. Like, I don't know, maybe it's because we're spiritual, because we're Scorpio women, and we're so think as deep as the ocean. In my mind, I was like, I don't understand this. Like, I'm not happy in my marriage, and I'm not, like, nobody listened to me. Everybody either judged me or made fun of me. Why are you still not happy? Why are you still not having a house? Why are you guys, you know, never had a vacation or always arguing? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. It's like,
because it wasn't with the right person.
And nobody allowed me to even, it's like, if I'm saying something, oh, it's because maybe your mom didn't raise you, or because you're too spoiled, or because your husband does everything. I don't care who does what. I'm not happy.
Partnership. And don't get me wrong. Like, I know of marriages. There is a couple that I know of when I lived in Atlanta. The husband was the stay-at-home parent and the wife was the one that worked.
I love that.
Totally different. Right. But you know what worked for them? That's why I'm saying you can't keep putting people in these boxes. That's
my father used to say the same thing. It's not, you, like you said, don't put them in the box. Every family has their own vibration. Own
dynamic. Yeah, and if that works for them. So say, for instance, like with my second husband, I had more earning potential than he did because I had the degrees and I had the ability to go and get a job. He was always really, really great at working with his hands. So his earning potential to do like maintenance type work was never going to be on the same level of what my earning potential would have been as a director. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean that he's less of a man. It just means that's our dynamic. I'm not going to judge my husband because he makes less money than me, because that's where he is. Like, that's his capacity for where he was able to earn. That stuff never mattered to me. And, you know, sometimes to
did
my
he
own.
Care? Hmm? Did any of your husbands care that you made more money or you had the potential?
He
to make
did. He would never admit it, but he definitely was insecure about it.
Okay. So before marriage, did you ever talk about, like you mentioned, before marriage, I think one of the major things we have to talk about, besides don't let your family get involved, but I think it's the finances. How are you supporting, how are you going to support yourself? What's going, you know, the concept of money is important.
People are talking just like sex that people are afraid to talk about, but it is such an important topic. You need to know what
because they never think. They never think we never thought we were going to have.
If you are a person that, say for instance, you gamble your whole freaking check away, we're not going to be able to work.
Yeah, I know people like
I'm not going to be. I'm not going to be able to, no, I can't. I can't be with a person that gambles his entire check away and we still got to pay the rent or the mortgage or the utility bills or whatever, put food in the house. And that would never work. But these are conversations. It's people are afraid to have the hard conversations. And so they blame marriage as if marriage is the problem. It's not marriage that's the problem. It's your communications that's the problem. Your communication sucks.
Yes. Also, again, in our culture, we always say, oh, it's okay, woman is going to stay home. Most religious women are stay-at-home moms. Mm-hmm. Most men in the culture, religion, are the ones who are supposed to be providing. So,
yeah,
the breadwinner. Exactly. This is I wouldn't say closed-minded mentality, because my dad always used to say, Marina, don't worry about it. If your husband, you're going to get married, your husband's going to be like me. He's going to provide for the family. But when I got married, reality check kept flying in my head. Like I was, you know, kept getting slapped by the reality. Like
the reality slapped upside the head.
Yo, I was getting, my head was hurting. That's what probably I have migraines. I'm like, how? I was like, God, all right, I got it, man. Because I didn't know, honestly, I'm happy I got divorced, unfortunately, and still happy, because I grew up a lot when it comes to me as an individual. Because in my marriage, I thought, I don't care what he was thinking. I don't care if he thought he was the best. And I don't care. I wish him the best. It doesn't matter. But as a woman and as a person, I was struggling to find who I was, because I knew who I was. I couldn't find myself, because I was always pissed off. Oh my God, as a Jewish mom, Friday night, you have to have the dinner. And I was never ready for it, which I have nothing against it. But culturally, I always felt like you have to be this perfectionist. You have to be as good as his sisters or my sisters or our cousins and his cousins.
Yeah, you have to meet up to their standards. Yeah.
Right. But we could do it, and they, you know, but because him and I were always struggling, it was so difficult to me, because it's not like he was leaving his work early to come help me to get the, because we're also with two small kids. It was expected from me. But I'm like, well, it's impossible. If I don't even have enough money to provide for a babysitter to come back at a certain time or ask her to start cooking or prepare things, right? Yes, you could get up at 5 a.m. My mother-in-law does it all the time. Great, congratulations. You could do it, but I couldn't. And I was just so sick and tired. I refused to work 10 times harder for someone who's not even here in the first place. So, right. So then you always go back to, I'm like, why do I have to do this? Eventually I was just like, I'm not doing it. Then the finances, we both didn't know what to do with our finances.
Now I will agree. Neither one of us were where we needed to be. And that's the biggest mistake I can say that I made in both of my marriages. I was so young and I was not mentally, financially, emotionally, even physically prepared.
But how would you be though?
I was super
cool. But it doesn't matter. Like when we go to, like in Russia, we had a class called the cooking class for the women only. So we were taught how to cook there. And at the same period, the guys were across the street. They had a class for wood class, it would call it. So the guys had to They had to learn how to do something with the nail, how to build something. And the guys, I remember, used to run across the hallway and go into the windows and ask the girls, can you give us some bread? We're hungry, we're starving. And that was so cute. When I came to America, I was like, what the fuck is this? There's nothing in America. They just teach a stupid history that's non-existent. That's a lie. You go, you get married. You're like, you go to college, you have a huge loan. You don't know anything about anything when it comes to the real world. And then you're like stuck with a huge loan. You don't know what the hell you learned, because what you learned in college, you do not take it into work. Because I have a business management and finance degree. But when I went to that industry, I was like, you serious right now?
Like, I don't know what the hell is happening.
I was like, what? That's not.
See, not I'm one of the few people that actually has a degree in what I do for a living, or, you know, what I have done for a living. Mm-hmm. But, it's you're right.
Yeah.
Society, you know, puts all of this pressure. And that's why I'm firm in, like I said before, I don't feel like anybody should get married before 30, because I feel like at least by 30, you should at least kind of have some idea of where you want to go and what you want to do, what you want your finances to look like. What kind of career do you want to do? What is it that you want to do? Do you want to take a whole year and travel the world? Is that something that you want to do? How are you going to be able to do that? Those are the things. I don't feel like you have to stop living your dreams because you get married. I just feel like when you get married, it's supposed to enhance. It's supposed to enhance. So you're supposed to be with someone that enhances you, not someone that holds you back.
Absolutely.
Or someone that, because of their inferiority or insecurity or whatever, you're no longer being able to be yourself.
Or their upbringing.
Right. You're supposed to enhance each other. It's a partnership.
Yes.
It's a partnership. Yes. If I'm working every day and he's working every day, or say I'm running businesses and he's actually working outside of the home, we both need to split the responsibilities of the home, the cooking, or we could hire somebody to cook, goddammit. Because I mean, there are going to be days when I'm tired. There are times when I'm working literally till 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning on business things, because it has to be done. You know what I mean? So when you're your own, you know, an entrepreneur, you don't have a start and an end time. So it's not like you can just say, hey, I'm done. But no, shit's got to get done. Like when we finish this, I have to finish up some stuff.
Exactly.
You know, so it's one of those things. So it's like, we should be able to share in the responsibility and in the roles. There is no men do this and women do that. Those dinosaur days are gone.
I used to hear it all the time.
Because both women and men are working now outside of the home a lot. You know,
they always say, oh, it has to be 50-50. And my father was like, what are you talking about? Like, what
is that even mean? No, I'm giving 100 and you're giving 100.
Yes.
I'm absolutely not half-assing and you're not half-assing. Because when you're half-assing, we're going to have a communication problem.
Absolutely. So I think it's very important to acknowledge everything that you, because I had to acknowledge, okay, I'm failing at this level, or I'm failing here.
Right. And we're not perfect human.
No. And because it's important, the reason why I said it is because when we as human beings, or just as individuals growing up, and we have to meet everyone else, like when I got my divorce, even if I'm not divorced in a Jewish way, I don't really care at this point. It doesn't really matter because there's rules and laws. I said to myself, I'm taking control of my life and I don't care what it does to the whole society, because I was so sick and tired of trying to make everybody else happy, trying to keep my mouth shut, because keeping it in a box, because everybody was trashing me. And I was just like, okay. I swear, man, if those people were here, I have so much things to say. 3 seconds, we're done. I have nothing.
They're gonna make your stinger come out and they're not ready.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was sick and tired of society expecting you to be this person. You have to have college education. No, you don't, because everything
is. No, most of the entrepreneurs that are making billions of dollars are not college educated. Let's be clear.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And they are the walking.
Don't get me wrong. I have multiple degrees, but at the end of the day, that is not the reason why I'm working. My success right now is more on things that I'm doing outside of the things that I do for my degree.
Yes, absolutely. Tell everyone what you're doing so they know. So Erica she's happily divorced, right? But now you're in a happy relationship, which I'm very, very, very happy.
We're not in a relationship.
Okay, well, listen, you met vibrationally someone who's on the same level as you. It's not like you were expecting, it just so happened, which is very important, because I know a lot of people after divorce, they either get married right away again, or they quickly start Googling someone, you know, single guys in the area. I'm not looking for nobody. If God feels like I'm ready, when I'm ready, I'll know. And then And the other, which is, you know, what you're doing, I know that for a fact, a person will become rich from something that they're doing from within. Their artistic side comes out, because that's when you generate more energy. So you just published your book, which I know personally how much you've worked hard on it. It brought a lot of pain and, you know, a lot of emotion from your past in order to put all that into words, because what you're writing is something that, I mean, you're doing an incredible thing, and I know you're going to change the world from it. And so you go ahead, tell them your,
So of course, you know, I'm doing my book. It's actually in editing. Actually, my editor starts doing her part on the 1st. So, it's in editing right now. But I also started a nonprofit called Overcoming Abuse Through Healing. And that's what the book is really about my personal journey, dealing with sexual assault and incest within my family and breaking that generational curse. On top of that, I have an HR consulting business where I am working toward getting these government contracts, because that's going to be my bread and butter. That's going to be the thing that I can hire people. I can create job opportunities for other people, HR professionals that can come in and help as consultants. And we can kind of go in and do different government projects. So I have that going on. I have, of course, podcast, Relationship Talks. And as a result of this podcast, I decided to use my music abilities and create an EP that is called Relationship Talks with Erica Janelle, the EP. So that I'm actually in St. Petersburg right now to do the tour for. I'm going to be going to several different venues, April 1st through the 3rd. And then we just found out that Easter weekend, I am headlining the Jazz Festival here.
Nice. And
so this is crazy for me because I literally stepped out on faith. I wrote, I produced, I mixed and mastered my own music, my studio at home. And it's something I just stepped out and did. I've always been in music. I've sang for many, many people in the gospel arena over the years, done backgrounds for a lot of different people. But this is the first time I'm actually pursuing it for me. So this is super exciting. This is a dream of mine that I honestly am still kind of like trying to pinch myself and realize that I'm doing.
Which is very important because if you don't have a partner in your life, out of, you know how some women, and I love them for that, I love God, you know, some just, they're lucky. It just so happens that they meet their loved one at a very young age and they grow together. And that's amazing. I'm always rooting for that.
Absolutely.
So we were not lucky, but we learned a lot from our relationships, which we're lucky in a different aspect. So when we became single, we were actually given the ability to just think for ourselves finally. And it's not to say we're blaming everyone else for what we couldn't do. It's just that everyone is still in the same cycle. Everyone is still broken in their own way because of the society and the cultural and your own little skeletons in the closet, your own little trauma, whatever. Mm-hmm. So you have to make that decision for yourself in order to literally just be like, well, because I used to tell God, either you take me or you just, you know, get me out of that mental hellhole that I'm in, that physical tension, because I feel useless. I know that you brought me into this world for something, and I want to share that, you know, that inner gift with everyone else. And if I can't, then why am I here? So my journey started when I admitted to myself that this right here is pure BS. It's a joke. It's just, okay, it's like God's angels or whoever were laughing at me. We're like, we just want to see if you could make it through this one. Because if you could pass this test, girl, you got it. So we got it.
Scorpio's journey in general.
It's so hard because I think we're so deep with everything. Not to say that other people do not go through hardships, but
absolutely.
Absolutely. But I guess with, and we're speaking for ourselves, we overcome things on a much deeper scale and we still take the high road doing it.
And that's still the right part and the right passion behind why we do. We don't want to hurt people in the process because we've been hurt. I'm not trying to hurt people, you know? So that's my heart and my desire is to take everything that I've learned, every lesson, every challenge, everything that I've overcome, because that I've done the work. I've done the work to heal.
Yes.
I've done the work, you know, in therapy. I still go to therapy. I've done the work just spiritually and cleansing myself and getting myself to a place where I was healthy mentally before even wanting to pursue anybody else. Like, I took the time to work on me, and I think that's something that people don't do. So you go through these issues and these challenges and relationships, and then you bring that crap into your next relationship, or you make the next person pay for what other people have done to you when it's not fair. When I am coming into somebody's life, I'm coming into their life genuinely wanting to just be, you know, with them. I don't hold them accountable for anything that's happened to me in my past.
Absolutely.
I don't care what my ex-husbands have done or didn't do. You know, at the end of the day, you get a clean slate with me. You either have to screw that up yourself or we can flourish. You know, I'm not going to hold you accountable, because at the end of the day, that was a promise I made to God years ago. Like, back with my first husband, I said, Lord, I will never make another man pay for what my past has done to me. And that includes, you know, me going through traumatic events such as, you know, molestation and things of that nature, and being physically and verbally abused, those things. I'm not going to hold every man physically or mentally or emotionally accountable for what other people have done to me. I took the time to heal. I took the time to work through my wounds, to be honest with myself about the areas where I needed to grow. There's still areas where I'm, you know, I'm healed.
Oh, absolutely.
We're healing until we leave this earth, you know? Absolutely. But to the best of my ability, I'm always trying to give everybody an opportunity to be, you know, authentically themselves. And if you mess up, then it's because you've messed up. It's not because I'm making you pay for something somebody else did. I'm literally making you pay for what you've done.
Yeah, we live in the moment. That's what I know about Scorpios. I always take things. I'm not expecting what I may not have. So I'm just living in the moment. If you hear I'm grateful for you, let's make the best of it. And when you're ready to walk away, walk away. And I was unfortunately never granted that part. So I was always abandoned or betrayed. And it's really hard to get back on your feet when you feel like, well, what the hell am I giving myself 100% to when it's so hard? A, you're still trying to find yourself. You're trying to survive on this because you're still getting older. Your kids are getting older. You're trying to find out, you know, your life on a spiritual, physical journey, your financial journey. And, you know, like I said, in school, we're not really taught that. So all of it is just mostly BS. Everyone is struggling. The school is more like a babysitting service at this point. Like I tell my kids, listen, don't pay attention too much to history because it's bullshit. It starts from, I'm sorry, slavery, and that's bullshit because it's not true. I try my best to teach the kids what's really out there because I'm like,
just the real truth about slavery and the real truth about how we systemically people are oppressed. But it's those things, and I just feel like if we get back to the place in our lives where we recognize and realize that it's not the institution of marriage, it's not the institution of relationships. We are born for relationships. God, and this is the Christian me, you know, he said it is not good for man to be alone. We are put on this earth for relationships. We literally are here for each other, to help build each other up, to help, you know, help be compatible with one another. And I feel like we've gotten away from that in society. So people look at it like it's the relationships that's the problem. It's not the relationship.
No, it's the individual that you're with.
It's the lack of communication. It's the lack of vision. It's the lack of you knowing what it is that you really want and who you really are. So a lot of people get into relationships and they're so broken. Mm-hmm. And you're all that brokenness into a relationship and expecting your relationship to be successful. You've got to deal with your brokenness first. Heal.
Or if you really love someone and you really want to be with them, but you're nowhere near where you want to be with that person, but just stop expecting all those, because every time, which is a true thing, it's not about me and my husband, it's about the realistic. I was also scared and he was also scared because we both genuinely knew we could be here, but because we were not ready and we were not communicating, it was so difficult because we were constantly thinking about what will anyone else say. It was hard because you're constantly born and raised and taught from anywhere, what will others think? And that concept, even my dad used to say, Marina, don't date this guy. What will the world think? You know, what would the community say? Don't wear that. What will the community say? Then you go to school. If you're not going to pass your class, if you're not going to pass your test, if you're not going to do anything, what will they say? Your peers are going to laugh at you. So you're basically constantly worrying about what anybody else is going to say. And then unfortunately, everyone else is going to either they go, they go sex, drugs, and all that other stuff, or they run away because we're talking about it, but imagine when you constantly have to live with it. And then you come home, I didn't know that in high school, one of my closest friends, he was Asian. He told me that Marina, you guys didn't know, but I used to go home and I used to get beat up all the time. I used to come back to school with bruises. So imagine on top of trying to become a very good student because your father and your mother expect you to be, he was Asian actually.
Yeah,
such a sweetheart. Like he was like a teddy bear,
and it's like, that's why why religion is destroying people.
Horrible.
It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. And I'm not disregarding the Jewish culture. I'm not disregarding the Christian culture.
Yes.
What I'm saying is stop making it rigid and make it about your relationship with your higher power, whomever that may be. And understand how to love and treat people right. Because at the end of the day, majority of the time when relationships fail, it's because somebody's not valuing and appreciating that other human being for who they are.
Yeah, give them a chance.
You're misusing them. You're mishandling them.
Yeah. Understand,
people are a gift.
And you're
you
not-
don't have to have the gift of me. And I don't have to have the gift of you. If you abuse me as your gift, I remove myself. And that's what I've learned over the years. When you don't value me, I take myself away from you because I know my value. And if I see that you are devaluing me, I'm going to remove myself because I refuse to be devalued.
So people learn either with someone or by themselves. And
exactly.
Eventually with people like us, we learn by ourselves because we give too much.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah.
Other people, when we are in their life, right? Because I was laughed at all the time because my life was not perfect. But I'm like, Marina, why are you so stupid? You're blindly loyal. You keep working for this person and helping this person
$400
in your pocket per month or whatever. It doesn't matter how much.
Your own detriment. Right.
I would help somebody else just to sacrifice my happiness, just to make them happy, because I was always thinking, I know how it feels to be alone. Why don't I help you out? And you can't do that. So it's a lesson for people like us too, because at the end of the day, when we all stop thinking what others expect of us, we actually become ourselves. Because when I literally was like, right?
And I can't even tell you the freedom that I experienced. Mm-hmm. I want to say, stop caring. You know, my favorite saying, people laugh at me all the time. One of the ladies I used to work with, she would tell me all the time. I was like, where are the fucks? Because I can't find them. I lost them at 30. Like literally at 30 is when I'm like, you know what? I can't even give a fuck about what you think anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Because at the end of the day, it's not worth my peace. It's not worth my happiness. I have to be true to who I am. And at the end of the day, if me being true to who I am means that I have to disregard everybody else's opinions, then so be it. Because at the end of the day, I'm responsible for this life that I'm living. I have to walk out my own path. Nobody else can walk out Erica's path but Erica. Nobody else can walk out Marina's path but Marina. I have to be responsible for my path. And if I'm going to be responsible for my path, I cannot be in bondage to what other people think of me. Absolutely not.
Right. Because at the end of the day, you're struggling. Who's coming to your rescue?
Who's coming
to my
rescue?
Nobody. Right. Nobody. If you don't have, remember when you said there was a time when you were broke and you were like living in the car or something, who helped you? Who knocked on your car and said, girl, come over here. I got you. Nobody. But everybody's going to judge you. God did.
God help me. It literally, he opened up opportunities for me. I'll never forget it when we were sleeping in the car and I was pregnant. At the time, and Ariel, my oldest, was young. And I remember I went in something, the Spirit, Holy Spirit told me, go into this hotel over here and ask them if they're hiring. And it just so happens they had just let go of a woman. And I was able to work at that hotel and stay in that room and only pay a very minimal amount of money every week in order to be able to work. So my ex-husband was working. He had just started working again. So he was able to pay that weekly rent and we were able to stay in that room for over a year until we got our finances in order.
Wow.
And how God blessed me. So nobody, no man walking this earth, no woman, no human walking this earth will ever be able to say that it is because of them that I'm successful. It is because of God that I am successful. Nobody gave me anything. Everything I ever have in life, I've worked my ass off for.
Absolutely.
I worked my ass off for my degrees. I worked my ass off for my certifications. I worked my ass off for all of my business ventures. And I still, when I get off of this call, I am going to work my ass off probably till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And then I got to turn around and perform tomorrow.
Right? No, I know.
It's because it's mine. Nobody's going to work harder for me than I'm going to work for me. Mm-hmm. And it's God's grace that gets me where I need to be. Nobody will ever be able to take credit for anything that God has given me. And I am hell-bent on that. That's why I've never been the kind of woman that cared about how much money a man made and all of those things. I don't give a damn about what your bank account. What I care about is how my bank account is growing.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Now,
if you're my husband or you're my mate and we're together, we're building together, then yes, you go ahead and you grind and you build it on this end. I'm going ahead over here and I'm grinding and I'm building it on that end. We come together, we will be a powerhouse, because that's my expectation for my husband, whomever mm-hmm. my husband is, whomever he may be.
Together, you have to be on the same level no matter what.
Because we both are going to grind and do what we have to do to get to where we need to get to, period. Generational wealth is where I'm at. I want my children's 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 children to be blessed from the work that I'm doing.
Yes.
To ever have to worry about struggling and seeing what I had to see or experiencing what I had to experience, because I'm grinding right now for the future.
And it's important to understand that aspect, that part, because I feel like we still need, and in some ways, certain type of education in order to make the money, but to make real money, generational wealth, we have to work on something from within.
Yeah, that's important. It starts from a passion. It has to be a passion. It can't be a job. It has to be a passion. Something that you're doing that's bigger than you.
Mm-hmm.
That's bigger than you. That's going to help generations. Where you, if I died, I literally would be able to take care of my great, 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 great grandchildren based on
absolutely. Water. Amen to that. Amen to that. Listen, everybody.
I'm not stopping.
Yeah, listen, maybe one day we'll open up a different type of school where there's actually education, because it doesn't matter. The kids could be in school from 7:30.
Life skills. On life skills.
Absolutely.
Life skills education. Yes.
I would love that.
Textbooks, life skills.
Mm-hmm.
How to get your credit right, the things that I had to learn the hard way, and I'm still trying to get myself where I need to be.
Hey, we're doing it.
Yeah.
Jesus.
No, I'm working on it.
I want to do that. I want the schools to be there. It's a different, Board of Education. No, it's going to be Marina and Erica's education.
So exactly.
Or the people's education, period. Mm-hmm. That's it. Because I want my kids to go to school from 7:30 to whatever, 5:30 p.m. or whatever, the 2:30, mm-hmm. right? And I want them to learn every single topic. Because some people are like, oh my God, TikTok is the best school that I've ever needed growing up. Like, what the hell? To be honest, you want to learn so much from TikTok. Like, literally.
Like, well, I've learned a lot from YouTube. I did not know anything about mixing and mastering my tracks. I went to YouTube University.
Yeah.
I call it YouTube University.
Yes, exactly.
And learn how to do it myself, because I know that right now, well, one, I want to be able to keep control of my own music. Two, I know right now financially where I am, I have to do this stuff myself. I can't hire people to do that right now. So I did what I had to do.
No. I love it. I hope everybody understands that, whether you're married or not, relationships or not, you have to understand that we need basic common knowledge in order to survive, because clearly, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, the government is not looking out for us as much as we wish they did. To a certain extent, yes. And I know that America is giving a little bit more perks than in other countries, but at the end of the day, this is not, they're keeping us at the bare minimum.
You have to be a fallback plan at the end of the day. You need to have a plan.
You do. That's why I remember Denzel Washington said, when you love what you do, find out what you love doing. Find out what you're good at and then progress from it. Like,
and that's where your blessings come. That's where they come.
Exactly.
Because it's not a burden. It's actually something you enjoy. You look forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even tell you how I look forward. I need to stop talking because I'm supposed to be on vocal rest, but I am looking forward to doing something that I've always done in my whole life. And people don't get to see this side of me anymore, because I've kind of pushed it to the side to raise my kids and do what I needed to do in career and all of those things. Now I'm actually living my dreams and doing things that's really making a difference in the community. We're going to do some major things, and I'm super excited about it. We're going to have a retreat that's for victims of sexual assault. and domestic violence, and we're going to take those women out of these facilities, take them to this retreat center for 2 days, and we're going to do nothing but healing and taking time to do yoga, meditation, learning self-defense, learning all of these different things so that I can know that these women have the tools they need to be successful. And then I'm going to take my HR consulting business and merge that with it, and then give them the skills they need to go ahead and go on job interviews and go ahead and build their resumes and do all of these things that they need to do to be successful in their career, so they can learn that you don't have to be stuck in an abusive relationship. You don't have to be a victim of sexual assault and that defines you. You can still have a successful life outside of it. So I have a lot of big vision and a lot of big things that I'm working toward, and it's not even about me.
Yeah.
But I'm absolutely in love with it.
I love that. I'm so proud of you. And I love women like you. I'm proud of, I look up to women like you, because at the end of the day, I realized that after I got into wherever I needed to be vibrationally, just out of my toxic environment, I was able to meet people like you. And, you know, you realize that you're not alone. You realize that you have the best kind of guidance, support. You know, me and you, we have we're like the best support system for one another. There's absolutely no judgment, right? Like, you call me and you tell me anything, and I call you, I tell you anything. And we're always like on the same page, like, okay, because at the end of the day, what's important is that we accomplish. How far? It's like a challenge. And I know we love a challenge. How far can we go with what we're doing? Because I genuinely want to see if we could create with a whole bunch of other people, like, you know, a school where people literally come in and just be like, well, this is your stage, level one. You have to learn all this.
You have to learn
this. Level two, 10 years old to like 15 years old, this is what you need to learn. 15 to 20, this is what you need to learn. And that's an amazing, because that's like 5-6 floors of so many things, like sewing and cooking. Right?
Just and practical things, like
practical
credit building.
How
to, you know, the importance of having good credit, how to manage your checkbook, how to balance, you know, your budget, how to, you know, the things that you're not taught in school. We're taught stuff that doesn't even really freaking matter a lot, but the stuff that you need for life skills, that's the stuff that people are learning the hard way.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like,
I'm in my 40s and I'm still like trying to grasp a lot of things. I'm behind the eight ball, but right. It's okay, because I'm learning.
Did we had to screw our credit up, for example? Because I remember my parents paid thousands of dollars in credit card debt because they had no idea what the hell credit card actually, how do you work it up? Because in Russia, we didn't have no damn credit card or card, period. Mm-hmm. It was just the money, the Russian dollar, whatever, right? So you come to America, and the first time I saw a credit card, I had no idea you could swipe it and the money was there. For me, it was witchcraft, something like, what the hell, right? So you learn so many things, and I don't know if people can learn anything from this conversation. Just understand one thing. Relationships happen because, I mean, in order for you to sustain your relationship or marriage, it's because you have to work on each other, work on yourself first, and allow the other person to learn and grow. Because being in a relationship where you're constantly being judged is the reason why not only the other person fails, but also you fail, as because you're not, you know, you're not supporting it's not your job to judge. If you don't want to be with this person because it's too much to handle, just respectfully let them go. Don't ghost them. Don't disrespect them.
Exactly. And I want to add to that. Learn how to be real with yourself.
Yes.
And you need to know. And when I say that, I mean, if you know that this person, this is the way that they are, you have to determine whether or not that is something you can live with, because you cannot change anybody. I don't give a dang on how good your sex is. Mm-hmm. I don't give a good god dang on how much your good cooking is. Yes. Who they are, they are who they are. And you have to determine if that is something that you can live with. If it is not something you can live with, then you need to be honest and to cut your ties.
Respectfully.
It doesn't have to be bitter. It doesn't have to be angry. It doesn't have to be mean. It can be respectful. But understand, you can't create this image in your head of what you think your spouse is supposed to be. And when they don't meet that expectation, that you're just willing to throw them out the door. It doesn't work like that. We're all humans. We are all imperfect beings. Mm-hmm. And just you think they're not perfect, guess what? Newsflash, neither are you.
Yeah, and then that's so how you know that person
be
is
willing
not
to put the work in. If there's somebody that you love and you adore, like I say, the guy that I have been so madly in love with, I understand who he is. I would never try to change him. I would always tell him, be yourself, authentically you. Don't ever change anything about yourself. I love you right where you are. Mm-hmm. That's love. Love is loving you right where you are. I'm not trying to change you and make you who I want you to be. I want you to be you. I choose to love you where you are, and you have to love me where I am. You see, I'm trying to work on not screaming.
No, I know, I got you. No, it's very important, because to me, when I was betrayed by somebody that I cared about, when I literally told the person, it's okay, if we're not going to end up together, I'm not expecting that, but if you're going to walk away and I'm going to go walk away, because we happen to be in the same boat, respectfully, let's just say goodbye and walk away. And I was trashed in such a way that I felt so humiliated and degraded that I felt like, what the hell just happened? So the only thing that I wished is, you know, when at some point I was a person in that person's life, that I took care of his problems and helped him and listened to him. So why aren't you doing the same thing for me? Why is it all of a sudden, when you realize that you're supposed to be with the other person, that I was rooting for him to be with the other girl, which is completely fine, but why is it that I didn't get the same respect when it's time to go, when I'm literally saying it's okay to go? Mm-hmm. So it's always remember, it makes me realize that, oh my God, is that really the person that I liked? Is that the kind of person that I attracted? Right. I felt degraded. I felt embarrassed. I was like, no way, that's not what I'm going for. Because it doesn't matter where I was at that level and where he was at that level. What matters is that I gave him unconditional respect and support. Love. I got nothing in return. So
yeah. And it's important. And that's a Scorpio thing. We talk about it often. We are big givers, and a lot of times we are not good at receiving, and we don't even make people accountable for giving back into us and pouring back into us. And that is something that I am very diligently working on. So, you know, I am single. So for me, I am still working on being a better receiver and being more demanding what it is that I need in return. Right. So if you're not meeting the needs that I have in return, then what are we doing here? Because I'm not going to put myself to a place where I'm willing to jeopardize or willing to compromise what makes me truly happy in a relationship when I know you're not giving it to me. And I'm just going to be like, okay, well, he's just not giving it to me. And then I just suck it up. No, because eventually I'm going to be resentful.
Exactly.
And I'm filled. And I don't want to be that. I want to be, this time when I marry whomever my husband is, we are going to be together forever, and it's going to be the right time, because I will take my time with it. I will make sure it's the right person. I will make sure that we talk about all the things. I don't care if it's, we're going to talk about everything. You're going to tell me about all the things, stuff that you won't tell nobody else on the planet. You'll tell me. That's the kind of relationship I want, because that's the kind of love that I'm going to give. He's going to get that. He's going to know things about me that nobody else knows.
Because you're already on that level too. You already got past that BS vibration where you're like 100% to everybody. And then you're like, wait, where's everyone else?
Yeah,
you know, it's like talking to a tree.
I don't have the tolerance anymore. I just don't.
No more. Exactly.
If you're not giving me what I need, and you're smiling because you know.
Yes, and I hear you all the time.
I am cold-blooded when it comes to it. Not even cold-blooded. I can't even say that. I will cut you off. If it's not working for me, I'm not going to sit here and stay in it for 6 months. No. You are a half-ass, and I'm done with half-ass. Goodbye.
That I didn't have when I was growing up. And I know that I don't think you've been like that also, because when we were growing up, we were like, okay. Like, you know, putting up with the cultural, or, you know, a woman has to be seen and not heard, or whatever the case is. And you're like, okay. But now I realize, I'm like, oh my God, like, it's amazing. Like, what was I not? I mean, granted, I was not strong before because I was so broken by community and society that I was like, culture, I was afraid that if I say something, people would just constantly tell Marina, don't say anything. You're always screaming. You're always complaining. But I was just trying to speak up and say something. And now it's
you
like, oh.
Find your voice, and you found it now. And that's, I found mine, and I know what I want and I know what I don't want. I know what I will tolerate and I know what I will not tolerate. I'm not going to tolerate somebody that's half-assed in it, because if you're
half-assed, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. People actually appreciate the truth a lot more.
You're half-assed and I'm giving 100%, then we're not on the same page. So why are we sitting here? What are we doing?
Yeah.
we're wasting your time. No love lost. Goodbye.
Exactly. Oh my God.
Well, I love you, sister. Thank you, guys. I know this was a long one, but I really, I felt like this was such a good topic. I know we kind of veered off a little bit, but it's such an important topic. If you don't get anything else from this, remember, it's not relationships that's the problem. It's who you're in the relationship, how you communicate in that relationship, and whether or not you guys have defined the dynamic for your marriage and your relationship. Marriage is not a bad word. It's not a dirty word. It's a beautiful thing. If it's with the right, it can be the most beautiful. I have been very blessed to meet some married couples that have beautiful marriages. And of course, you don't live them, but they will tell you about their struggles, and you could see the love. They don't have to say it. You could see it. You can see the reverence and the respect that they have for one another, and the love and the passion and the compassion that they have for one another, and the way that they will defend and work for one another. It's not a competition. I don't want a competitor. I want a partner. I want to be like this with him. We're going to be so damn tight.
Yep. Connect, not control.
You're going to see me. When you see me, you're going to see him. We're going to be tight like that. And I'm not saying physically see, but I'm going to always represent him the best way. And he's going to always represent me the best way. That's the kind of love I want. I'm not settling for less than that.
Yep. Connect, not control.
Exactly. Partner, not dictator.
Yes, partner. Exactly.
Period.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, I love you guys. Have an amazing week. I will be going live on Instagram and on YouTube. The first show is tomorrow night at Sip St. Pete's at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I will be going live. I probably won't be talking because I'll be on stage, but you guys will get to see. You will be the first people to hear Erica Janelle's music. It's not even on iTunes yet.
I can't wait. Good luck with everything.
First dibs. So I love you guys very much. I'm going to rest my voice. I am now not talking anymore.
Mm-hmm. Text me.
I love you guys. Have an amazing day. I love you, Marina. You know I love you. I'm going to whisper to you on the phone tomorrow.
I know, right? I know. I love you, girl.
Bye.
Take care, honey. Take care.